Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to The Bodcast, Bustle's podcast for radical body positivity, fat acceptance, and visibility for all identities. I'm Marie Southard Ospina, and I'm here with Whitney Way Thor today. Whitney is a dancer, a body positive activist, author of the upcoming memoir, I Do It With the Lights On, and star of TLC's My Big Fat Fabulous Life, which is starting its third season on June 8th. Today, we're going to be discussing Whitney's work in body image activism, what it's like to be on reality TV, her journey with polycystic ovarian syndrome, and navigating weight loss while solidly identifying as a body positive person, as well as everything we can expect from her in the months to come. Thank you so much for joining me, Whitney.
You are so welcome. I love a podcast because I can be naked while we do it.
Always the best. That's the best state to be in, if we're being honest. So for folks who might not be as familiar with your background, do you want to give listeners a little bit more info on a Whitney Way Thor's bio?
Sure. My life kind of changed rapidly about 2.5 years ago. I grew up very thin, had eating disorders, gained over 100 pounds, eventually 200 pounds, was diagnosed with PCOS, lost 100 pounds, gained it all back, and then found my way into radical self-love and body acceptance. When I did that, I put a video online called A Fat Girl Dancing, and it went viral. This was I think January of 2014. And then a few months later, I was contacted by TLC to do My Big Fat Fabulous Life. So it's just kind of been a whirlwind since then. And like you said, my book, I Do It With the Lights On, is about to come out.
Wow, that's a lot. I feel like you really did kind of skyrocket into the limelight. I mean, Fat Girl Dancing, that first video was 2014. It's only been 2 years and you're on TV. I'm wondering just what that transition was like and what it was like for all of it to happen so quickly.
I think in some ways it was easy and then in other ways it was difficult. I explore this kind of metaphor in my book because we often tell people about body positivity, well, just love yourself, just accept yourself, and it's not really that easy. It's not as easy as just flipping a switch. But what I realized was that for the last, 10, 15 years, when I really felt like I was living in the darkness, when I was really encumbered with shame and all this stuff, I thought I wasn't progressing. I thought I wasn't doing anything. But that's where the work really happens. And for me, I was lucky enough to just kind of, I mean, literally, it felt like one day things just really fell into place. But that doesn't mean that, there wasn't work being done behind the scenes. So in that way, I was really comfortable with kind of, all of a sudden self-identifying as fat and then talking about it and all this stuff. But what I was not really prepared for was going from being basically anonymous. I mean, I was on a local radio show here in North Carolina, but being, pretty much anonymous to being on international television. My Big Fat Fabulous Life airs in every continent except for Antarctica. and so it's that I was not prepared for. And it's a very different experience in the body positive community versus mainstream America. And I think it's great that we're making strides to kind of get it into mainstream, but it's like two completely different groups and how to satisfy them both. And that I think has been one of my most difficult aspects of this whole thing.
Yeah, I'm really curious about that because you're obviously hugely connected to so many people in the plus size community and body positive communities online. And I wonder if you've felt really able to balance being that activist with being a very public figure as well. You know, you're show is going to be appealing to a huge amount of demographics. Not all of them are going to be as in tune to the activism behind body positivity. So how do you hold on to that side of yourself and your mantras and your kind of psyche whilst being on reality TV?
Right. Well, I think for a lot of people, I mean, I see, you know, conversations being had about me online in the body positive community. And the first thing that I really want to assert is that I'm a lot smarter than I may seem on TV. But what people don't understand is that reality TV is still TV. It's still entertainment. And it's such a small portion. I mean, I shoot for 50 to 60 hours a week, and that will get edited down into a 23 or 24 minute episode. So if, you know, in the body positive community, if people make a lot of judgments on me just based on the show, which of course is not something that I can even edit myself, you know, of course I don't, you know, edit, you know, I don't have that privilege. So it's taking a big leap, and I feel like every day I'm taking a risk that I have cameras in my life, because you never know how something's going to be portrayed or if it will really reflect what you want it to. But for me, I think the gain of getting body positivity, even in a kind of watered down, funny or dramatic, you know, family dynamic form, is still doing so much, because I feel like the plus size community is amazing. It's growing, it's flourishing, but we're not seeing it in people's living rooms, you know. No. So with my Fat Fabulous Life, I have the ability to have that in living rooms all over the world. And I feel like some members of the body pos community who maybe only know about the show, you know, don't really understand the depth of my work or my understanding of body positivity or what I really hope to accomplish in life. So I hear that a lot. You know, if I go and travel and do public speaking, which I go to universities all over the country, and people usually tell me like, wow, you know, they say, well, you're just the same as you are on TV, but you're a lot smarter. So oh, wow. I take that as a compliment, I suppose.
So are there some kind of specific things that you would say people in the body pos community have deduced about you from the show that haven't been accurate, like anything specific or memorable that you can think of?
Well, yeah, I would definitely say just the direction of weight loss being something that is talked about on the show. That part of it, I mean, mainstream America, the narrative is, you know, fat people lose weight. That's what people think. That's what people see. That's what they want to see. And of course, my life is never going to be a weight loss story. Even if I did lose weight, I wouldn't ever want it to be a weight loss story. So I think people see that kind of angle that happens on the show. But it's kind of like, to me, it's real life. Like my parents, my family, my friends, my trainers, they're still talking to me about weight loss, because that's where most people are in life. We haven't progressed to the point of fat acceptance that, you know, the average person really understands that. So it's still reflecting a reality. I just am a lot more radical than I may seem on TV, because, you know, there are limitations. This is, you know.
Yeah, ultimately, it's you're not on the show to just discuss your politics. There's, you know, there's more to it than that.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Yeah, I think we're so conditioned, as you mentioned, to believe that not only fat people should lose weight, but that all of them must want to, that I imagine it might be easy for some viewers to tune into your show thinking that what they're about to see is some Biggest Loser-esque journey.
Right.
That's not what it is. And, you know, I'm wondering if you've also come across folks who are almost disappointed you know, that my Big Fat Fabulous Life doesn't read as a weight loss show.
You know, mainstream America will often say to me, like, so when are you going to lose weight? Well, you haven't lost weight. I'm going to quit watching. Like, it's season 3. You still haven't lost weight. You know? And I'm like, well, I don't know what show you thought you were watching, but it isn't The Biggest Loser, and thank the Lord for that. So I definitely do hear that. And I, you know, there's a promo out right now where I think I say in it, you know, I want to be fat. And it's just started running like a week ago, and I already see it constantly on every social media that I have. People are like, why would you say that? You know, I thought that you were working on your health or like whatever. And it's so funny because especially this season, I am working on my health, my healthy behaviors. Like I have a lot of problem with basic self-care. So like feeding myself regularly. And of course, I have an eating disorder background, getting enough sleep, you know, exercising every single day is something I want for myself. So I haven't mastered all that stuff yet. But to me, that is completely separate from what I weigh. And it's obvious that a lot of viewers don't know that those two things are not, you know, hitched together. So,
yeah, I mean, I remember we had a conversation last year, I want to say, and you at the time you said that you did want to lose weight, but it had nothing to do with being unhappy in the body that you have. And I'm wondering if you can just elaborate a little bit on that for people who are misconstruing your kind of messages, and just to clarify.
Absolutely. I've actually shied away a lot now from saying anything, like ever saying the words weight loss, because I don't want to do a disservice to the fat acceptance movement and what I ultimately believe in. But I think the angle that I take on it is that there are definitely some things that I cannot do in this body. And there are some things that I would like to do. Dancing is a great example. Obviously, that's like my biggest passion in life. And my body does hinder me. It doesn't hinder me as much as I used to think it did. But if I'm being totally realistic, you know, I can like I can't tie my shoes right now. You know, I wear slip-on shoes because I can't buckle or tie my shoes. And that is something that I would like to be able to do. So I feel like those things are like really personal decisions. And I will never pursue weight loss for the sake of weight loss. I'm still trying to, like I said, master my basic self-care, you know, feeding myself well, sleeping, exercising, stuff like that. And if I could really master all that, take all my PCOS medications, I think there's a real possibility that I may lose some weight. And by some weight, I mean like 30 pounds or something, not like, you know, I mean, I've lost enough weight in my life to know how my body works. But I don't want to feel like ostracized or criticized. Sometimes even if I just talk about like being healthy at all for what that means for me, I'll see criticism about that. And I'm like, okay, like we can be fat and we can still try to be healthy. And I don't mean, you know, we have to eat salads and like want to lose weight or whatever. But if I just say like, you know, I'd really like to exercise every day because that makes me feel good. I've seen in the body positive community, people react to that negatively. And I don't understand that, you know, like,
I suppose. I mean, even when you just described it, you said sometimes people get upset when I describe what healthy means to me. And the fact that you put those to me disclaimers on anything that you say about health and comfort and body kind of separates it, at least in my mind, from people who are saying, well, no, like fat is always uncomfortable. Fat is always, you know, for everybody a right. negative thing. Like you always make it very personal to yourself. But I imagine it's just when you spend years of your life, you know, your entire life in a marginalized body, it's hard to kind of separate the people who might want to lose weight or change their lifestyle coming from a place not of hatred for their body or coming right. from a place that isn't suggesting everyone else should do the same thing, because that is the message we hear so often. Yes. So I think it's... No, go for it.
Well, I was just going to say, that's why I've really tried to just not even say those words at all, because I don't ever want it to be misconstrued. Because to be perfectly clear, I do want to be fat. I do love being fat. I love my fat body. I will never be thin. And even if I were to somehow, I always put it this way. I mean, I don't think this is possible for me because of my PCOS, but if I were to somehow start dropping weight, like just by doing things that made me feel good, I wouldn't, you know, try to stay fatter just for the sake of staying fat any more than I want to lose weight for the sake of losing weight. I do not support weight loss for the sake of losing weight. I just don't. I mean, I think that if you change behaviors in your life that make you feel good and that you feel are healthy for you, and that happens to result in weight loss, you know, then that's what that is. And that's fine. And love your body through all of its changes. But I do not support really anybody saying, you know, I want to look better or whatever. I'm kind of like, ugh. Like to me, that is just never an intention that I could have. I just want to make sure that I can tie my shoes. I mean, really, I'll be good to go.
When I've watched your stuff, you know, you haven't ever suggested that certain activities are automatically 100% impossible for any fat person. And we have, right. even if it's been difficult at times, we've seen you dancing. We've seen you moving your hips in ways I can't even conceptualize doing. We've seen you running a marathon. We've seen you fall in love. We've seen you wear bikinis. And, you know, I assume that spreading the message that you don't have to lose weight to live a fulfilled, active life is quite important to you.
Yes, you absolutely don't. I mean, and I want to put that message forward. You don't. You can do, I mean, it's kind of funny. Like I always say that you can do anything, you know, right now, live the life that you want right now. But then if someone says to me, hey, Whitney, can you do a double pirouette? well, then in that case, the answer is no. And if someone says why, it is because I'm too fat. Like I am too fat to do a double pirouette, actually. I mean, I just feel like that's just being really honest about it. I mean, I'm not, I don't go home and hate myself because I can't do a double pirouette, but that's true. In the same way, I feel that there's so much I can do and so much that I will do and love doing. I think it's just kind of irresponsible, though, to say that you know, my, that being fat doesn't change anything for people, because it does. There are people much smaller than me who find it hard to do certain things that I can do. It's totally personal.
It's also, it's all very subjective. I mean, there's, there are thin people who would never be able to do a double pirouette because it also takes a ton of training, and, you know, it's just, it's all very subjective.
Got the training. I just have all the fat too.
For people who might have only seen a few scenes of your show or heard about it through the grapevine, what would you say to someone who's, or even to someone who's never watched, what is the focus of this show?
Well, one of my first things is, you know, I have people all the time, well, I on your show, this and that, and my first question is, have you seen it? And usually they say, oh, I saw an episode, or they say no. And then I would recommend that you watch it, number one, because you can't have a grasp on it if you've seen one scene or whatever. But for me, I think my Big Fat Fabulous Life is about portraying a fat woman, who happens to be me, in my real life. Like, and it sucks because in some ways people look at you like you're representing all the big girls in the world or whatever, but I can't possibly do that.
No,
I mean,
one person can never represent all experiences. Right. It's just impossible.
Yeah, it's a show literally about me. So, in fact, I had someone say to me once where I said something on TV about, like, you know, if I gain any more weight, it's the point of no return because I won't be able to tie my shoe. And this person said to me, well, I weigh more than you. Do you know how I felt when I heard you say that it was the point of no return and you couldn't tie your shoe? And I said, well, but I was talking about me. Like, I'm not talking about you or representing you. So, you know, people want to make role models, and they want to make, you know, somebody put them up on this pedestal. But I can only, I mean, this is literally a show about me. So I can only be me, and kind of, you know, I just think that's kind of common sense. But I think that it's just an honest and authentic look, I hope. I mean, there's stuff coming up in season three that I'm, like, really nervous about. Just having it on TV, like, there's some really vulnerable stuff. And there's a promo out right now, so I guess I can talk about it, where I actually passed out at a dance-a-thon back in January. And I've never passed out before, you know, and all the concern trolls and everybody else and this and that about my health. And, you know, that's frustrating and that's hard for me. But it's also just like what really happened to me. So and not that I could keep it from being on TV anyway, but I have to just hope that I have to embrace it and just kind of be myself.
I mean, that's, I feel like that is all you can do. And, you know, I know I see you on social media, like I see you posting stuff that is not only body positive, but specifically fat positive. And just hopefully that'll continue to translate.
The book was an opportunity for me to explore everything that you never see and have never seen. It's amazing how many people, like diehard fans and everything, like, don't have any idea that I had a decade long history with eating disorders. They don't have any idea that I even have a health condition, you know, like all these things that people don't even know. So really talking about those things in the book was so cathartic. It was cathartic because I finally kind of got to be in control of my own message. Yeah. And I'm not on TV. So that's one thing about the book that I think is really valuable for anyone who, you know, wants to know what I really think or what really is what real, then it's in the book.
That's great. And yeah, I mean, can you tell us a little bit even more about it? Like, the title is I Do It With the Lights On, and the tagline is And 10 More Discoveries on the Road to a Blissfully Shame-Free Life. And I'm just so curious about those discoveries and in general what we can expect. Like, maybe you could tease something for it.
Well, it's a memoir. And it's funny, a lot of people, you know, I get the people and I'm like, ew, Whitney, why would you write a book called I Do It With the Lights On? Like, we don't want to know about your sex life. And I'm like, okay, there is sex. Spoiler alert, there is sex. I'm a 32-year-old woman, you know. But it's also obviously a metaphor. And for me, it was just, it was difficult, like, not only because I haven't written since I was like in high school, but so it was technically difficult, but also kind of like reliving all that stuff and really kind of digging into it, like my history. Starting out, I was very thin, and kind of things from childhood. Like, looking back, I realized that I was indoctrinated into diet culture when I was 5 years old.
As most of us are.
Yeah, and I don't think that I really knew until I started writing, and I wrote about this certain incident that happened in the grocery store with my mother, and then I was like, oh my God, that was the moment. Like, I actually know exactly when it happened. And so I kind of just go through my life up until now. And then in the last two chapters, they're written a little bit differently. One is about feminism. And then my favorite chapter is the final chapter called Body Positivity Does Not Promote Obesity. That's, of course, the most common criticism that you hear. And it was really awesome to just tackle it and you know, without like a character limit, and to put the research in there and to just speak really passionately about something that's so important to me. That was awesome. And there is a specific guy who I call I do it with the lights on guy. And I talk about like that very specific sexual experience and what that was like for me. And I think it's relatable. Some people that have read it already, I mean, have told me like, you know, yeah, I had this experience. This is just like me. This is just like me. And the overarching theme that I want to put out there is that, of course, you know, fat women are going to identify with it, but I really feel that anybody can. And that's the message of no body shame. That's really, it is fat positive, but it's also just for people. And I think the cool thing about having kind of a global audience with the show is that so many people do come to me. They may not have a problem with their weight at all, but it's something else. And the way that they can kind of draw inspiration or like see themselves in me, even though I'm struggling with something totally different. It's just something that society has told me I'm supposed to be ashamed about. It's amazing like how you really can connect with so many different people. And I just hope the book is another opportunity to do that way more in depth.
Yeah, I think you're doing it at such a wonderful time as well. I mean, Jess Baker's Things No One Will Tell Fat Girls is out, yeah. Kelsey Miller's Big Girl, Saray Walker's Dietland. And what I love about books like that is that, yes, these women have a lot of understanding about fat politics and fat positivity and body positivity, but their words can translate to people who don't know anything about those things. And just the standard everyday woman who probably dislikes something about her body because that's what she's been taught to do. Mm-hmm. So it's exciting that you kind of are going to cater to that woman, but also hopefully just people in the community, and, you know, they can see another side of you that they haven't perhaps been able to see on the show or just wherever it may be. So that is very exciting.
Yes. And shout out to those ladies. I have read, well, two of the three. I've read Jess's book. I've read Kelsey's book. And they were both amazing. And in fact, I was reading Kelsey's book as I had just finished writing my manuscript. And when I read it, I was like, oh my God. You know, she was so talented. It was so amazing and made me feel like, you know, I needed to go back and start all over. Yeah. But of course, didn't have time to. I agree. I think that they're amazing. Their work is amazing. And exactly what you said. I mean, I think there's a kind of a simple narrative to follow in my book. But then as it progresses, when you get into the last two chapters, there is more that speaks, I think, specifically to people who are in the body pos community. And I'm just hoping, like, I'm just picturing so many people opening that book and, you know, getting to, say, the last chapter and just reading things that they've never heard in their lives. You know, people who are not a part of the body pos community. That's what I can't wait for, is for someone to just hear that information for the first time.
Definitely.
And hopefully have it change their perspective.
Yeah. And I'm sure that will happen. I mean, the reality is that it can start to feel like everybody knows about body pos and fat pos because it's like a buzzword now, and you can see it on BuzzFeed and on, you know, every other publication. But most people that you just encounter day to day don't know that these things exist. And they, you know, they don't know that voices like yours exist, or let alone that you could, yeah, that you could like write about these things or have sex with the lights on if you're fat. Right. Like, you know, even if that's a metaphor, it's just, yeah, it's people don't know that.
That's exactly it. I mean, that's, you know, like I said, it's like juggling these two identities, one in the body pos community and then one in mainstream America. You know, mainstream America, when they see me saying, oh, I want to be fat, you know, they just lose their shit. They're like, what? I mean, so it's two completely opposite ends of the spectrum. And I feel like I'm stuck in the middle. You know, I'm one thing to these people and another thing to these people. And it's just very difficult. Yeah. But I'm going to look at myself like a bridge. That's what I'm doing. I'm bridging a gap.
For sure. We actually have a segment on the show called Words Matter, where we talk about any kind of loaded term, specifically as it applies to body image or to being fat. So it can be fat itself, or, you know, curvy, BBW, you, whatever. But right. you've used the word fat so frequently and happily identified as such that I'd love to hear a little bit more about that and just why it's so important to you to use yeah. it positively.
You know, I was just thinking about this the other day. Recently, there's been, you know, some visible celebrities, plus size and some not plus size, who have been talking about why we don't need labels and how we should all just be what we are. And in a way, I agree. Like, if we could go back and do life over, I think it would be awesome if we didn't have labels and we were just whatever we are. But the truth is that we do. You know, we have straight sizes, we have plus sizes. And for me, when I hear women a lot of times talking about dropping the label, I can't help but feel like it's still ingrained in them that the label is something they don't want to be. Like when Jennifer Lawrence said it should be a crime to call somebody fat or legal to call somebody fat or whatever.
Yeah, she was absolutely yes. operating under the assumption that fat is inherently bad.
Like, yeah, like, I mean, yeah, you know, no, if you're going to call me plus size and you're being mean about it, then I'm going to be upset about it. If you're calling me fat and you're being a jerk, like, yeah, I'm upset about it. But if the more I say I don't want to identify that way at all, to me, just the more distance that puts between us and what we really are. And I don't think that we can destigmatize things that way. I think we have to, you know, and I'm not going to tell anyone, I don't feel comfortable making someone call themselves fat or if they're not comfortable with it or whatever.
We're all everybody. Yeah, everybody has their own timeline for how quickly or how slowly things like this take.
Right. But I just think it's really important for the destigmatization for us to just own what it is. I don't think we need to go back and unlearn plus size and unlearn the word fat. I think we just need to make fat not a bad thing, make plus size not a bad thing. And so that's what's important to me. I will definitely never shy away from any of those terms.
Yeah, I mean, I agree 100%. It's not the word itself that's bad, and it's not the act of being fat itself that's bad. It's the stigma and the shaming that comes with it and the marginalization that comes with it and the fact that you have to pay twice as much for an airplane seat or be denied health care because, you know, of your weight. Like, it's those are the things that are the problem. It's not the word.
Oh, you know, something else, not to totally derail, but I just realized something else when you said that. The other thing about My Big Fat Fabulous Life that you know, I almost wish I could change, but I can't, is that so much of the conversation is, this is still focused on health, health and weight loss and health and health and health and health. And I don't actually really care why I'm fat. You know what I mean? Like if I had it my way, I wouldn't talk about health all day long because I never want other fat people to think that I'm saying, well, it's okay to be fat only if you're healthy. And I find myself having to defend my own health because I've made it everybody's business. But I just try to be really clear, like when I can, that I don't care if someone's healthy or not. Even if I weren't healthy, it wouldn't matter. I still deserve the same respect. I think that emphasis on health makes it digestible for, you know, mainstream America. So that's why it's there. But that doesn't mean that I really care.
It's not like a requirement that you put onto people before you decide that they're worthy of acceptance.
Absolutely not. So I like to make that clear because I think, you know, you could get that twisted easily, maybe watching the show. And when I say I want to be healthy, I just mean I want to feel good. I want to be happy. When I say I want to be healthy, I'm like, I want to eat 3 times a day instead of like once, you know, stuff like that.
It's funny. I feel like when it comes to health, we use that word without even kind of defining what it means ever. And one really good example, I think, when I think of like concern trolling and just people who harp so much on weight, you know, on fat itself being bad. I've read a lot by Linda Bacon, who, you know, is a doctor. She's an advocate of health at every size. And she's written a lot about how one of the worst things you can do for your body is weight cycling, you know, going on going on a diet, losing the weight, regaining the weight, then going on another diet, losing the weight, regaining the weight, and so on and so forth. And, you know, that in and of itself increases in inflammation, which is one of the worst things you can do for your body. Of course, who are the people who have likely yo-yo dieted the most? It's often people of size. Right. And so, yeah, there's, you know, there's correlation, but there's no causation. And we never talk about those things.
Well, yeah. Try to tackle some of that. And because I lost 100 pounds in 8 months. So when people tell me like, Whitney, you can lose weight even if you have PCOS, I'm like, You are literally telling me something that I know more than you could ever possibly know. I know, I did it. Like, I've been there and I've done that and I gained it back. And I really wish that I had never lost that weight to begin with. I absolutely wish that I hadn't, because it just caused me to gain more and put more stress on my body and make, you know, make my, because with PCOS too, with the insulin resistance, it's just really done a disservice to me. I wish I had known then what I know now, which is that I was perfectly fabulous and could have been totally happy at that size. But I didn't know that then.
Oh, man. I know we're running out of time. So on that kind of sad note, let's switch gears to something positive. You know, we do a weekly segment where we shout out a Body Pause Badass of the Week. This is someone who inspires you in any facet of fat acceptance or body positivity and who's been really important in your own journey. So is there anyone you'd like to put the spotlight on?
Joni Edelman, she writes for, Ravishly. She is really amazing. She's been really supportive of me. We've kind of gotten a friendship, and she has a really amazing story that, you know, seems to mirror my own. I feel like that's what we always find out when we talk to these women, like, wow, I'm just like you. And you know, she's also doing a lot of good work at, I think, in the mental health arena. And I have depression, and I've struggled with depression since I was in high school, but, it's not something that I talk about that often or, really even almost remember, you know, like sometimes I'll be like, oh, right, Whitney, like you mm-hmm. have a chemical imbalance in your brain. Like yeah. this is hard for you. And so I really like, kind of the intersection there and intersectionality in general. I think she does a really good job of, bringing things together and into focus, and she's great. So.
That's rad. Thank you. We definitely need more intersectionality in this world.
We do. And I try to be really cognizant of that. Like, I've heard that as a criticism before. And it's true. It's like, gosh, you know, I've got to make sure that I'm doing the most with my platform that I can do. So that's something I made a commitment to, is trying to do better to be more inclusive. Because I can admit that I've fallen short there. You know, I'm a privileged, you know, white girl. And I know that that's why I have a lot of the opportunity that I do. So I think I have an obligation to help lift other people up.
Even just recognizing privileges is the first step. You know, a lot of people can never do that or refuse to do that. So I feel like that's definitely part.
I am learning so much about that. So
yeah. Awesome. So if people want to find you, Whitney, on social, if they want to check out your show, what's the best course of action?
Well, the show's on TLC, 9/8 Central, premiering on June 8th. You can also follow me on Instagram, which is at Whitney Way Thor, on Twitter at Whitney Way, on Facebook, Whitney.Thor, or Facebook.com, Whitney.Thor. And there's like some of my Big Fat Fabulous Life pages and stuff like that. But if you follow me, you'll definitely be set for all things show, book, and no body shame.
Amazing. Thank you so much. This was lovely. I really appreciate you taking the time. And I know some of these things are hard to talk about, so much appreciated.
Oh, no. It felt like a really good vent session today. You're naked venting. Love it.
Oh, thank you again.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening, guys. As always, you can find us on our awesome podcast network, Acast, or subscribe on iTunes and SoundCloud. And if you have any questions or recommendations for the podcast, please email at thebodcast@bustle.com. Thanks.